Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everybody. Thanks for coming back for another episode of the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome to Sunday. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I hope you're having a great life. If not, I hope this series that we're into is intriguing to you and opening up your mind a little bit to what love is. In our first episode, which was last week, we talked about the idea that is God love? And if God is love, what does that mean? And what does we know about love? So we talked about horizontal love. This week, we're going to talk about vertical love and how it's a little bit different because it's going deeper. It's how do you go deeper in love? How do you become deeper love? And what's the difference between vertical love and horizontal? A lot of people think of these as two different things. In my time serving in the ministry, so many people thought that, well, human love is the love that we share between each other. That's horizontal love. And vertical love is God's love for us. And it's totally different. One is, you know, Zoe, or when I'm sorry, gosh, I got that all goofed up. One is like agape love, God's love, and the other is eros, or friendship. This is not what I'm getting at, okay? So I am not going there. What I'm getting at is that horizontal love and vertical love are the same thing. And so today we are going to dive right in, and we're going to talk about how that is the case. And we're going to focus on the vertical aspects of love. So last week we examined how love is universal and how it has countless forms of expression. And I think we overappraise our grasp of love. I mean, love is so common. It's in every song. It's in all the movies. It's what sells products and makes you want to do things and go out and all that kind of stuff. And so we seem to think we know love way better than I think we actually do. Even so, we all grasp something of love. We all get it. There's not a person on the world that doesn't have some understanding of love, either because they have the experiential knowledge or because they have other kinds of knowledge about it and they're seeking it, hoping to find it, wanting it. And we can love people in different ways. We can love things. And we're told oftentimes that you shouldn't love things, you should love people. That makes sense. It's a good rule of thumb. But I'm not going to be overly critical. We can love our pets, right? So we all know something about love. And a common critique of modern people is that modern people are very shallow, right? We're a mile wide and an inch deep. But I don't think that's true. You see, the gravitational pull of love brings us together and deeper. It always pulls us together and deeper in love, until we bump up into our own belief, or our own unbelief, I should say. So unbelief is the thing that stops us from going into love. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this, and you're going to see what I'm getting at. This is where we become scared of letting another person into our life, right? I mean, we all have that. Love is a very vulnerable thing. It puts us in a very vulnerable place, and I'm going to explain why. But it's easy, if we've ever been hurt, to not believe that it's going to be as good as it is. We never believe love is as good as it is. And as a result, we have unbelief, and that unbelief is where we stop. That's the vertical ascent or descent that we can go. That's as far as we can go. But love is actually boundless. You can actually keep going. And I'm going to show you next week how that's possible. But we tend to stop love's progression until we can establish some form of trust. Isn't that how it works? Oh, if I trust the person, I'll let them in. And that's it. But how do we go deeper? how do we go deeper if we're one of those people that doesn't trust people very well? What if we've been hurt before? How do we go deeper? You see, depth requires maturity. There are no casual, deep relationships, right? Casual and deep are mutually exclusive. You can have casual aspects to a very deep relationship, but you cannot have deep aspects to a very casual relationship unless you go deep with that person. And that takes maturity. To go deeper into anything, if it's a hobby, a sport, a relationship, it doesn't matter. It's a spiritual process because you're mining out the nuances of whatever that is, be it a sport, and you're getting better. You're giving your time. And that's just it. We have to spend time and gain insight into the thing we want to go deeper into. If it's a person, we have to be prepared to go deeper into love. And we have to prepare ourselves to participate. We have to be in the game, you see, or we are not loving or going deeper. You can't just theorize about love and go deep. Theory stays on the surface. Experience is how you go deeper. You got to be in. You got to be willing to participate. And that willingness, again, goes back to our belief. What do I believe about this love? What do I believe about this friendship? What do I believe about this relationship? If you don't have a lot of trust in it, you're not going to go very deep. So think about it maybe this way. The only difference between a perfect stranger and a lover or a very best friend is familiarity. In this way, sex is a lot easier than laundry. Sex is way easier than laundry in a lot of ways. Vertical love is actually sometimes easier than horizontal love. It's true. We can't take on all the drama of everyone's life. So we have to be selective, right? We cannot go deep with everybody. We have to stay kind of, shallow, so to speak. And our culture gets all kind of twisted and jacked up, especially in romantic relationships, because we dive to the deep part, sexual intimacy, and we haven't established any horizontal part. That's what I say. If you're not willing to do the laundry, you shouldn't be willing to get in bed with that person. But we do. Why? Because vertical love is easier sometimes. And we're skeptical because it seems like the horizontal area, helping that other person, taking on all their drama, taking on their needs, their deficiencies, their insecurities, their challenges, their needs, being available to a person, investing that time, that's the horizontal work. And that seems to be where all the obligations exist. But once we grow our capacity for love, obligations disappear. You need to hear that because so many churches and pastors want to tell you that love obligates you. It does not. Love does not obligate you. Duty obligates you. But love compels us and duty obligates us. If you are feeling obligated to do something you really don't want to do, it's probably you're acting out of a sense of duty and not out of a sense of love. Think about that. Love compels us. And the difference here between love and duty is depth. When you have depth, you'll do anything for another person. To go deeper or to gain maturity takes an investment of your time, just like it does for me. But time is not enough to deepen a relationship. I mean, if you spend a lot of time with somebody, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to end up in a deep relationship. It requires that we let go. It requires that we surrender control, or some just won't get this. And this is why you think love has to do with duty. You think you're in love, but you're not. You're just in a duty, an exchange of duty. When you are in love, you're not obligated, you're compelled, because you have surrendered an aspect of yourself to complete trust. You've surrendered and you've let go. Depth is the risk of exposure. And so if you are afraid to risk exposure, if you're protecting yourself, if you're hedging your bets, I'm sorry, you're not in vertical love. You may be doing other things for another person. You might be doing loving things for a person, but you're not going deeper. You see, we have to take on aspects of another person's life, the good and the bad, and they take on ours. And like I said earlier, we can't take on everybody's. So there are only certain relationships we have the bandwidth to go deep into. And those are the ones that we need to learn how to love. This is why marriage is so important and why it takes a lifetime to learn how to go deeper. And you see it all the time in our culture, the people that fall out of love. And that's just, they simply stopped doing what they used to do when they invested the time, or they got hurt and now they're risking, or now they're distracted with something else and they're not giving any time to the relationship and allowing themselves to go deeper. They're not establishing any more trust. They're hedging their bets. They're keeping themselves safe at a distance and they're stiff-arming. There's no way to go deeper there, right? Depth is a risk of exposure, and vertical love is impossible for the false self. So, you know, it's really, really hard when you're putting on a facade to go deep with somebody. We have to take on aspects of another person's life, the good and the bad, and they take on ours. And as when we do this, we divest ourselves of our self-protection, and we allow another's divestment to be that protection that we've given up. Philippians 2:6-7 depicts God actually self-emptying. The word there in the Greek is kenosis. When he lowered himself to become human is the idea, right? That's self-divestment, emptying, self-emptying, kenosis. And this is the clue as to how you find vertical love. Vertical love is not possible without horizontal love. See, we think we can go deeper with a person without the horizontal, but it's an illusion. You're not going deeper in love. If when I said sex is easier than laundry in our culture, they're not like finding vertical love by ignoring the horizontal aspects. It's impossible to go vertical without the horizontal. The two are the same thing, but two dimensions of the same thing. They're not two different loves. Vertical love is when we understand that doing for another will cost us, and we do it anyway. Right? I can't even tell you how much sacrificial giving my wife does for our family. We call her the laundrinator because she just gives and gives and gives and does laundry all the time. And there's always a meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And there's always, you know, I've never reached the bottom of my sock drawer. And I mean, it's an amazing amount of self-divestment that she gives to our family. And that is what vertical love is. It's not obligatory because we will do it even if it isn't reciprocated. She doesn't ever, ever, ever keep track of, hey, I did the laundry last time, it's your turn. Or I cooked, now it's your turn. It's not about it ever being reciprocated. She's doing it because she's demonstrating that she loves and loves in a deep way. Sadly, though, many marriages are anything but love stories, because they have become self-protective exchanges, instead of self-emptying love. So if you want to learn how to go vertical, you've got to self-empty. You've got to divest yourself, and it's going to cost you. And if you're in the role of taking care of yourself first, then you're going to miss out here, because deep love works when you give it away and the other person gives it away. And so what happens is there is no safety net in vertical love. It's a deadfall. And the only intervention is the love of another who self-empties in order to prevent our smacking the bottom. So you might be sitting there saying, Kevin, this sounds really great, and I'd be willing to do that, but I know my partner's not going to be willing to do that. So I'm going to be self-emptying, and I'm going to get nothing in return. I'm going to be bankrupt, and I'll get hosed. And that may be true. In that case, you are loving, and the other person is not loving you. I know it's risky, but it's the only way it can happen. It's the only way we can go deeper. You can't go deeper until you surrender all of that. It's impossible. It's going to hurt. You will get hurt. You know why? Because most people are butterfingers. They're going to drop you. Most people, in fact, every person will probably drop you at some point. And many people cut off their own experience of love by holding back or covering their bases. And I get it. It's understandable. Because this is among life's greatest pains, isn't it? When you love and aren't loved in return, can you think of anything more painful? I mean, that jacks you up as a child if your parents don't love you correctly. And your whole life, you're seeking this hole of love. Now, a lot of people are out there saying, oh, I'm waiting for love. One day this love is going to happen to me. Waiting for love is a trap. And that just keeps you more and more isolated. It keeps you on the fringe. It keeps you observational. You can't. It's not until you discover the circular love that reinvesting into vertical love becomes tenable again, especially after you've been hurt. You can't wait around. You have to get in. You have to self-divest. You have to find someone to give your love away to, and then you'll learn how to fall in love. You won't have to wait for it, okay? Until we grow in love, we will drop others. Like I said, most of us are butterfingers. And so when somebody trusts us with their love, we're going to drop them. And when you trust others with their love, you're going to be dropped. And once you get the bigger picture, that's actually okay. It hurts like heck. It's the worst pain in there is. But it's actually going to be okay. And it's necessary. It really helps us to know how to go deeper. If you get hurt and then pull back, and you don't go deep again, you become the spinster and you know nothing of love. To get hurt and give yourself away, even if it hurts and it costs you and you get burned, to get up and give it away again is the only way to know love. There's a design here to this. In our diversity, our unique experiences and our suffering, they all function as positive and negative space. You see, your strength is made for my weakness. And my sight is for your blind spot. And our abundance is for another's lack. So now we can kind of see the architecture of love and how interdependence changes everything. We are each responsible to self-empty into the world right where we are now. We are each made whole by making others whole, not by making ourselves whole first. That is a big psychological mistake. The goal is unity and diversity through and by love. There's the design. So if we face each day in cynicism, in judgment of other people, or hatred of certain people groups, or whatever it is, you go down the road and you hate that person who cut you off, and you're judgmental about the way the person is dressed, or the way they're acting, or their hygiene, or whatever it is, or you've got this, then you have otherness disease, and it has replaced interdependent love, because you're looking at that person and saying, I don't need you, I don't value you, instead of seeing them as saying, there's something that you bring to the table that makes me better, and there's something I bring that makes you better, and we need to find that through relationship, how to make that work. And I believe hell, the idea in hell that is depicted in scripture, is actually the experience of isolation from love. So if you live in cynicism, judgment, and hatred, then you're isolated from love. Think about it. You might consider yourself a loving person. You might say, hey, I'm a Christian, therefore I'm a loving person. But then you go around and you hate non-Christians. You hate Muslims. You hate gays. You hate, if you're a Calvinist, you hate Arminians. You know, there's just a whole world of hatred in people that you hate. It's otherness. You're not actually in love. You're isolated from love. And only by falling into vertical love, kenosis, letting go, self-emptying, can we really grasp the shape of God? Because he, she is the shape of love. Like it says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. And so if God can be the horizontal love that's between us, like we learned last week, and the shape of God is self-divestment, and we can follow God into this process to experience deeper vertical love, then self-emptying is the path to gaining everything. Self-emptying is the path to gaining everything. Hiding, pretending, protecting. That's how we lose even what we think we have, like it says in Matthew 13, 12. Now, at first, the mutual emptying of vertical love seems like a back and forth motion. I'm going to self-empty to you. You're going to self-empty to me. It's back and forth. It's not. It's actually a flow. There's a flow to it. It's a dynamism that comes to us and through us, but is not us. That's love. And we are going to explore that next week. I hope you'll come back. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.